Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on
CBS News Special Report. Another Federal Reserve reprieve. Interest rates remain unchanged today as it continues fighting inflation. Here's CBS's Jason Brooks.
The Fed statement says while inflation has moderated, economic growth was stronger than expected in the third quarter, and that could keep inflation elevated. Tighter financial conditions for consumers and businesses are expected to slow down economic growth, and the Fed says that dynamic is acting like a rate hike.
It's the second time in a row the Fed's decided not to raise rates, but it could be a while before they go down. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
Interest rates could stay at these higher levels for a longer period of time. That makes it tough for borrowers. It makes it tough for anyone who wants to go buy a house. But if you're a saver, you're dancing a jig, ma'am. Like, it has been 10 years since you have seen 5% interest rates in your money market accounts.
Interest rates remain just above 5%. The goal is 2. CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. University of Wisconsin officials say they want elected leaders to stop politicizing diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. University system leadership says DEI programming promotes more inclusive communities for all kinds of students. Governor Evers is suing Republican lawmakers after they stalled scheduled pay raises for state university workers. UW system president Jay Rothman says it's time to stop the rancor. Yesterday's snowfall set records in much of Wisconsin. A band of snow made its way from west to east across the state. Appleton saw 4.5 inches of snow. That breaks the old record of 2.7 inches in 2019. Milwaukee suburbs like West Alice report about 4 inches of snow. Wausau and Eau Claire also set snowfall records yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A vital warming shelter for the homeless population in the Chippewa Valley is extending its availability. The Eau Claire Community Haven House has announced it will now be open 7 days a week instead of 5 days a week to offer a safe, warm place for the homeless in the area. The added availability is thanks to grant funds from sources like the American Rescue Plan Act. The warming center is also looking for additional volunteers to help keep the shelter running throughout the winter. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is accepting applications for the Wisconsin Fast Forward Worker Training Grant. Employers can apply for grants of up to $400,000 to develop and implement business-led skills training programs and develop innovative solutions to meet the needs of their area's workforce. Public agencies, private organizations, coalitions or partnerships, and tribal governing bodies are eligible to apply. The application process closes at 3 p.m. on November 28th. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Bucks are in Toronto. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks take on the Toronto Raptors tonight at 6 p.m. The Bucks are 2-1. Toronto is 1-3. Baseball, game 5 of the World Series tonight. First pitch at 7:03. The Texas Rangers hold a 3-1 lead over the Arizona Diamondbacks in the best-of-7 series. NFL, the Raiders firing their head coach, Josh McDaniels, and their GM, Dave Ziegler. Former Giants linebacker Antonio Pierce, now in the coaching staff, has been promoted to interim head coach. The Packers trying to explain why they traded veteran defensive back Rasul Douglas to the Buffalo Bills yesterday before the trade deadline. GM Brian Gutekunst.
Well, you know, it was a tough one because of what he means to our team. But at the same time, you know, we weren't looking to move anybody. Got a call kind of out of the blue a few days ago. Weren't really interested in doing it. But at the end of the day, the offer was kind of too good to pass up.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly cloudy today. We'll see a little sunshine by late this afternoon, I think, with a high of 37 this afternoon. Tonight, clear, 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high of 41. Then on Friday, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 40s. We are going to see scattered off and on rain through the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now, it's 31.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you go know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making is made every second, every minute, every day, whether you're asleep or awake or even paying attention. And a lot of what we are talking about every day here, your grandchildren read about in history books, and you live right through it. An astonishing development with Mike Johnson. This is a fact that I had not known. It had never occurred to me that this could happen. But here it is, and it's frankly very weird. Mike Johnson, when he first ran for Congress about roughly 2016, the last 7 years, he's had a reporting obligation. One of the obligations is to report bank accounts and assets. In 7 years, Mike Johnson has said he has no bank account of any sort. His wife has no bank account of any sort. None of his kids have a bank account of any sort. He has no retirement account, and he has no assets. Now, hold the phone here for a second. Let me give you some facts. As a congressman, he makes, I think it's 176 grand a year. His wife makes 50 grand a year and two jobs, and he makes another 50 himself because he has an online teaching gig for Liberty University. His wife has two gigs. She gets money from a group called Onward Christian Education Services and Louisiana Right to Life Education Committee, 50 grand a year. As speaker, he got a big raise. He's going to make $223,000 a year. As I say, he has a 30 grand a year gig with Liberty University online teaching. So right this time, they'll have about 280 grand a year joint income. Before that, they had about 225. How do you negotiate life? He has children. With no checking account, no bank account, no retirement account, no stocks, no bonds, no investment. And let me give you a couple of other facts that make this even stranger. The regs regarding reporting by congressmen are that you don't have to report your personal home, but you report if you have more than 5,000 in bank accounts, you have to report. It's possible he has less than 5,000 in bank accounts, but I don't see how he does that with an income between $200,000 and $300,000 a year. Zillow rates his home as worth $600,000. He's current on his taxes. This is a guy, you know, I knew a guy. I really did. I knew a guy who worked for a law firm. He was not a lawyer. And he didn't want to do anything on paper like checks or anything in bank accounts. Everything he did was cash. But he also didn't make this kind of an income. He would go down once a month to the electric company and bring a bag full of cash and pay his bill. The gas company, this is way before internet. There was no Spectrum bill or something like that. Buy his groceries for cash, his cars for cash. I'm not kidding. There are guys like that. But the problem with having a Speaker of the House who is like that is that he's susceptible to, frankly, influence peddling or bribery. Because there are two possibilities here. One is he really doesn't have any bank accounts. Now, if he doesn't have any bank accounts, I mean, he has a line of credit. He took out a $15,000 loan. He has a mortgage. Does he go down to the bank in a raincoat and a fedora, fake mustache, and go, here, put the money in this brown paper bag? I mean, that is just very, very crazy. I don't believe that. He also has a very strange history with Donald Trump, believe it or not. Back in 2016, of course, Donald Trump was running against Hillary Clinton. He was interviewed on a television station. Here's his statement, quote, "We have two people, Trump and Hillary Clinton, who are morally bankrupt, yet one of them will be president." This is him on Trump 7 years ago. He's changed his tune. But this thing about money really bothers me, because if he is living paycheck to paycheck and doing a lot of things by cash, and by the way, these regs cover his wife and kids. They can't have more than aggregate the whole family, $5,000 in a bank account. How do you go through life at that level with less than $5,000 in a bank account? Where's your retirement account? Now he'll have a congressional retirement account, but that's not what we're talking about. Before that, he didn't have any of that at all. I simply don't see it. It's possible that he's like Clarence Thomas and doesn't report things, but that's a very serious thing with the Speaker of the House. But what's even more serious with the Speaker of the House is he's telling the truth. And then remember, Clarence Thomas had somebody pay for family members' education, you know, the vacations, his RV, his van, everything else. I'm not saying that Mike Johnson has done that, but how, for Pete's sake, you're in Washington, D.C., making $223,000 a year with a $30,000 a year gig at Liberty University is $253,000, and your wife is $550,000, that's $303,000, and you're doing it all out of a bag. That's just not right. We're going to the line. Cindy of Appleton, my friend. Thanks for calling, Cindy. What's in your mind today?
I just don't know how somebody could go through life without having accounts, you know, checking or whatever.
Right.
I just think he's full of beans. But the point is, if he's got that kind of money where he can pay for everything in cash, how can he relate to a common man like myself anyway?
Right. Well, you know, his income, his combined income, now that he's been goosed up to 223 for speaker, he got a $50,000 roughly raise. You go from 176 to 223. And he has 30 on the side doing online teaching. So that's 253. And his wife makes 50 in two gigs. That's 303. How do you go through life with $303,000 in salary and it doesn't show up as an asset? Doesn't show up as an asset, Cindy. What do you think? I mean, you know, right. And what is he goes grocery shopping in cash, you know, buys his cars in cash. I really don't buy it. What, he goes to a gas station, they say prepay, stick your card in, and what? He doesn't have, maybe he has a card with no balance on it, but what does he pay in cash? How does he, American Express, Visa, and MasterCard, how do you pay that balance down in cash? I have direct deposit for some of my accounts. Most people do, where they work or whatever. A lot of seniors, Social Security. How can you have direct deposit when you don't have a bank account to deposit it into? I think there's something fishy here. It may be as simple as the fact that he just didn't report it because he didn't bother because he was a backbencher and nobody was paying any attention to him. That's possible. And now he'll file a corrected response. It's also possible that he blew it off. You know, he didn't even check it because maybe he doesn't have a huge checking account, but he has one. It's obviously over $5,000. It's got to be over $5,000. You know, when he gets his pay deposited, where does his pay get deposited? Where does his pay get deposited? Making $223,000 a year, $223,500 a year, a speaker. What does he show up and say, all right, give me my $20,000 this month? Here, I want it in cash. I want it in $2,000 bills. I mean, that's just plain strange. No, I mean, that's just plain strange. I don't think he would have the guts to have a Caribbean or a European account that he's not disclosing and hiding. But I just don't see, and you know, we got to play a little Sherlock Holmes here. I don't see how the Speaker of the House, with an aggregate family income now that he's Speaker of over $300,000 a year, a little over, but before that in the twos, anywhere from 225 to 250, how he does these things and he has kids, how he buys school supplies, pays tuition, you know, buys him a bike or something. Now, maybe he has all credit cards and he doesn't keep a balance. But all right, he has credit cards. You got to pay the balance at the end of the year so that you don't keep an ongoing balance. You got to pay a balance. How do you pay MasterCard and Visa in cash? I mean, I suppose it's possible, but what do you, FedEx them a bunch of cash? I just think that's plain strange, and I think this merits some investigation. Dick and Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
Well, maybe Matt, does he have it converted to like cryptocurrency? Or there could be this. Maybe
he's supposed
the same way that Granny Clampett, remember when she'd get mad at Drysdale and she'd pull all the money out and put it in her mattress?
But I don't want this guy passing on fiscal policy for the United States. I don't want this guy shining me with his expertise when he's talking about budget deficits. You know, I want somebody who's frankly a little normal. I suspect when all is said and done that he didn't report it and he does have a checking account. I mean, I just can't believe he didn't. But why for 7 years, and that, you know, he's gotten reelected, what, 4 times in that time period, how he can possibly have ignored this on his ethics form? It may be we should look at everybody's ethics form. We're going to see a lot of strange stuff. I mean, that may be what's happening. But I just flat out can't believe he doesn't have at least a checking account. I can't believe he doesn't have a rainy day fund and it ain't in his mattress. And I can't believe he pays cash for his cars. I mean, I just don't believe that. And assuming he has a charge card, I don't believe he's shipping a bunch of cash off to Visa and MasterCard. Going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter.
93.5 The Tap.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people.
It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Nick, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Nick?
Hey, Matt. Maybe this guy's laundering money through a church. Maybe he's signing his checks over to some church, and they're giving him cash back, and it's like a tax deduction or something for charitable contributions. But, I mean, it is highly suspect. I don't even know how you get a mortgage. I couldn't even, my first house, but you got to have a bank account. You can't even function. Like, even if even if it's a fake one or something with $500 in it, you can't move in today's society without some kind of bank account. So maybe it is something suspect. Maybe he's doing it through his church or something. I don't know. I'll just leave you at that. Yeah, great topic, Matt. Always a good show.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting because, I have known a guy, another guy, not the guy that I told you about just a little while ago that worked for the law firm, but was not a lawyer, who paid everything in cash and he didn't have a checking account. I didn't know that guy, but the guy had nowhere near the income of Mike Johnson. But I did know a guy who was very active in his church, and he did put a lot of money in the church as a sort of a contribution. Although I don't know how you do that without a checking account, but he did. And then the church would give him money back. And I always looked on that as a little suspect, because if you took a tax deduction, but then you get given money back for groceries, that isn't right. I mean, that just flat out isn't right. So, but I don't, why are we having to talk about this? There's a Speaker of the House. He's second in line for the presidency after Kamala Harris. He's it. If Joe Biden, for any reason, couldn't serve, Kamala Harris becomes president. If she couldn't serve, I got news for you. Mike Johnson is the president, and he doesn't know beans. He doesn't know beans about foreign policy. He doesn't know beans about much of anything. He's a very, very peculiar background, quite frankly. I'm very concerned about the guy. I'm expecting that this is all going to be solved now that we're raising it. Everybody's raising it. This came out over the wire today. It may be as simple as, yeah, I should have checked that off. Okay. That ain't great though. For a speaker, that isn't a good thing. If he just blew it like that, that is not a good thing. I suspect that's what it is. You don't make over 200 or 300 grand a year and do it all, on the sly. I mean, that just isn't right. Go to the lines. Claire of Sun Prairie, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Claire?
Yes, I'm reading this book again. It's all dog-eared. It's called The Family. Are you familiar with that?
You know, I'm not. Tell me about it, Claire.
There's a guy named Abraham years ago. It's a behind-the-scenes right-wing Christian group that's infiltrated government all around the world. They're the ones that got Uganda or someplace to make the death penalty for gay, but almost everyone you've ever heard of in our Senate and Congress has been in this group. Billy Graham, but they deal in cash. That's one of the things they do. So I'm sure this Mike Johnson is in that group. He couldn't not be.
That's a fascinating point. I'd not heard of that book. Thank you for letting me know about it. But I get back to this. Once a guy is second in line for the presidency, and once a guy is the Speaker of the House with the sole discretion of what gets put on the table to vote on, I do not see how he can keep going without a checking account or without a bank account or any disclosure of assets other than his house, which he doesn't have to disclose. But Zillow, it's valued at $600,000. Okay, that's fine, $600,000. But as one caller said, how do you get a mortgage? Now, he may have gotten it before he had to disclose anything to the house, and it may have been that he had a bank account 10 years ago or something, or 15 years ago. But why are we having to talk about this? This is just plain weird. It's just very, very plain weird, because this guy has now very elevated influence on discussions of budget deficits and funding for everything. And I'm concerned about it. I'm thinking that he probably blew it, and he will say, yeah, I had a bank account. But I don't know. He hasn't done it so far. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, I'm really curious about this not having a bank account, because I think that's kind of a requirement for this kind of thing. He should, because there's no way that he's going to the congressional paymaster and, you know, going to the cashier and saying, give me my pay for this week, and pays all his bills, you know, in cash, goes and pays all his bills in cash, his electric bill, all his utility bills. It sounds to me like, you know, there's been suggested that maybe he just has this money getting deposited to his church or some other group, and that's suspect as well, because this all should be going through his name. And that the fact that he is, if he has blown this off, he should be ejected from Congress immediately, because that's something you just should not be, you know, that how does he pay his taxes? I mean, you can't pay your income taxes in cash. I mean, it is just...
Is it a trust or some weird... Yeah. No, he should have disclosed it. And here's the deal, Mark. And, you know, we just... And you just put up on the board, we just got a text from a listener. Quote, we need to keep the president and vice president separated, not in the same spot, just for safety. And the reason is just for the country now because of the speaker. Here's the good news. The president and the vice president never fly together, and they never are in the same spot, except for the State of the Union, believe it or not. And the speaker and the vice president is there, and the Biden is there. Actually, I wrote a novel about that where ISIS tries to blow up the Capitol right during the State of the Union, precisely to kill them both. It's called Milwaukee Jihad, J-I-H-A-D, by Matt Flynn. If you're interested in it, my views on all that, just get yourself a copy of Milwaukee Jihad. I think you'll enjoy it. But all kidding aside, you're right. The president and the vice president shouldn't be there at the same time. And frankly, you know, I mean, there's a little part of me that says maybe the vice president shouldn't be there at the State of the Union. You know, president give it and the vice president be in a secure area. But that's for them to decide. I have got to say, before we go on to another topic, that the facts are, it was reported yesterday, that he has disclosed no bank accounts. Fact number one, for 7 years. Number two, he's required to disclose bank accounts if in the aggregate they constitute more than $5,000. So unless, like, he has a $1,500 bank account, and his wife has a $1,500 bank account, one of his kids does, but the good point was just made. How do you get paid? You know, twice a month, you know, semi-monthly, they want to deposit it somewhere and they don't want you walking in, or they want to give you a check. So what do? You take the check somewhere and show two forms of ID and get the cash? I just don't like it. I think if I had to solve it, Sherlock Holmes, I think the guy just didn't bother to check the box on this thing. But I don't like that. If he didn't check the box, that's very sloppy. And I don't want him screwing around Israel aid, Ukraine aid, you know, border aid, Taiwan aid. I want somebody who knows what he's doing. We're going to a break. I see you in the lines. Do not hang up. Get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
From out of nowhere, Felina has found me, kissing my cheek as she kneels by my side. Cradled by two.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An inmate died at the Waupun State Prison Monday. It's the third prisoner death in Waupun in 4 months. The Dodge County Medical Examiner says autopsy results won't be ready for a couple of months. The Waupun prison has been in lockdown since March. The Journal Sentinel reports about 1,000 inmates have to stay in their cells around the clock. Families say they're concerned about health care at the prison. Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler delivers the annual State of the Judiciary Address in Lake Geneva today. It's part of the annual Wisconsin Judicial Conference. The veteran conservative justice has clashed with the new liberal majority on the court over several issues. That includes appointing acting state courts director Audrey Skorowski, who's also addressing the conference. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A train derailed in Stanley between 345th Street and McKnight Street just after 1 a.m. on Wednesday. According to law enforcement officials, an estimated 10 rail cars were involved in the derailment that was reported by the Canadian National Railway. In a press release, the Stanley Police Department said there are no dangerous goods involved and there are no fires or injuries. The cause of the incident is currently under investigation. Law enforcement also advised residents to steer clear of the area. Proposed legislation in Wisconsin would expand the state's safe haven law, allowing full anonymity when surrendering a newborn to authorities. The bill would introduce safe haven baby boxes in the state, which allows a parent to place a child in an electronically monitored box at a fire station or hospital that will call 911 on its own when the door shuts. Safe haven baby boxes founder Monica Kelsey says when a baby is put into one of these boxes, authorities are able to pick it up in about 2 minutes. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Bucks are in Toronto. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks take on the Toronto Raptors tonight at 6 p.m. The Bucks are 2-1. Toronto is 1-3. Baseball, game 5 of the World Series tonight. First pitch at 7:03. The Texas Rangers hold a 3-1 lead over the Arizona Diamondbacks in the best of 7 series. NFL, the Raiders firing their head coach, Josh McDaniels, and their GM, Dave Ziegler. Former Giants linebacker Antonio Pierce, now in the coaching staff, has been promoted to interim head coach. The Packers trying to explain why they traded veteran defensive back Rasul Douglas to the Buffalo Bills yesterday before the trade deadline. GM Brian Gutekunst.
Well, you know, it was a tough one because of what he means to our team. But at the same time, you know, we weren't looking to move anybody. Got a call kind of out of the blue a few days ago. Weren't really interested in doing it. But at the end of the day, the offer was kind of too good to pass up.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy today. We'll see a little sunshine by late this afternoon, I think, with a high of 37 this afternoon. Tonight, clear, 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high of 41. Then on Friday, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 40s. We are going to see scattered off and on rain through the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 32.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. Okay.
Welcome back to Night from the Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. I'll take you in order. Do not hang up. Joe of Madison, my friend, you're first. What's your mind today, Joe?
Great subject, as always, Matt. You really bring the detail that's really important to understand. Okay, so we have Speaker Johnson, who is claiming no assets at all, and no bank accounts, no checking account, no nothing. And first off, the first question I would have would be, so nothing's listed on that form where you're supposed to check off what you have. Is there a penalty of some sort if you have not been accurate in disclosing to Congress what your assets are? I mean, if you can just blow it off, what's the point in having it? I mean, there has to be some sort of a rebound on that, some sort of effect on that, or I would think every member of Congress would just say, oh, I just didn't get around to it. Sorry, I'll fill it in later. One other thing I would throw into the mix here that's as concerning as, well, does he have Caribbean accounts that he's hiding this in, or is he putting it in his backyard or whatever? New Republic was just indicating on, they were doing some lookup and within the last hour or so, and they said that one thing that is kind of also concerning about the speaker is that he owes a lot of money. He's got this mortgage, and apparently he's still got hundreds of thousands to do on this mortgage. He has a personal loan of tens of thousands of dollars, and in 2019, he took out a home equity line of credit, which, again, tens of thousands of dollars. Okay, now this couple, even before he assumed the speakership, had a combined salary, as I understand it, of over a quarter mil, right? Over $225,000, right? Okay,
right.
So they live in Louisiana. They don't live in New York City. They live in Louisiana, so one would assume that expenses aren't as bad. So my question is, he's got debt. He's got a lot of debt, apparently. So does this put him more in the line of Mr. Trump, who owed a lot of debt? And gee, who did he get to help him pay off his debt? Starts with a P, Mr. Putin. What I wonder is, he owes a lot of debt.
Right.
He's
not
claiming where it's from. I think this is a big red flag as to, where is his money? What is going on? And he can say privacy all he wants to, but the position that he's in is one where people are extremely vulnerable to blackmail. He would seem to be a real logical sort. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Thanks a lot, man.
Great. Yeah, I'm going to respond now, and then the rest of you don't stay on the line. I'll get right to you. Yeah, here's the deal. As far as a penalty, remember Clarence Thomas, even though there's no ethics requirement, there has been a reporting requirement of the Supreme Court, and he blew it off for 15 years. And to fine him or to spank him, the Federal Election Commission, and of course that wouldn't apply to Clarence Thomas because he wasn't a candidate, but the Federal Election Commission could absolutely fine him. But there's three Democrats and three Republicans, and they never agree on anything, ever, ever, ever agree on anything. And so he's not going to get fined, number one. Number two, you're absolutely right about those debts. And they seem to, if he has no assets and he has those kind of debts, that's technically, he's underwater. But I personally can't believe he doesn't have a checking account, because I don't think you can go out and get a six-figure mortgage, get a line of credit, get tens of thousands of bucks in loans and all that kind of stuff in cash. I mean, not nowadays. Banks are not going to do that. They're not going to do that. They're going to be very, very wary about that. And they're going to worry about money laundering and all that. So I personally think that either the reporting was wrong, although it came right out over the wire, or as I suspect, he just didn't do it because he was a backbencher and he didn't spend any time looking at the form and he didn't see it or blah, blah, blah. But the final thing I'll leave you with is that what concerns me the most is that as speaker, he's two away from the presidency. Kamala Harris is the only one before him if there has to be a succession. And number two, he is handling appropriations, expenditures, making professional judgments about trillions of dollars. And if he can't keep his personal finances so you can understand them pursuant to the disclosure requirements, he shouldn't be speaker. He just flat out shouldn't be speaker for a lot of reasons, but he definitely shouldn't be for competence. That is the problem. Okay, we're going to go to another topic now, and a couple of breaks in some of the things that we had talked about before. At Cornell, those terrible death threats and anti-Semitic postings against the Jewish community in Cornell, where people had to be concerned about walking on the campus, disgusting. They arrested a 21-year-old student. He was arrested. He is an engineering student. I think he's a junior, sophomore, junior at Cornell. Cornell is an Ivy League university. It's hard to get into. It's a very, very good university. I think what happened, and then I want to comment a little bit more on this issue. They had a professor at Cornell. And this professor, the minute that the October 7 tortures and murders of Israelis by Hamas occurred, he put out a statement saying he was exhilarated by it. It's about time, he said. And that fed the poisonous atmosphere, that fed the poisonous atmosphere in Ithaca, in Cornell. I think it's very possible that a kid like this was very, very influenced by that. We're going to talk a little more about this issue, but I'm going to quick go to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling us tonight. Wisco Paul.
Well, I just want to talk about the call you just got from Joe. That's very, very troubling news, to say the least. If any of that, if you can't handle your own finances, how in the hell are you going to handle the finances of the U.S.? And the guy, you know what? Somebody said on your show, it's this guy's Jim Jordan with his suit. So we have some serious problems here, man. I just wanted to thank Joe for calling in and filling us in on that. I appreciate it, Joe. But we have some serious problems now. Serious problems. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah. One of the problems is this. Somehow he got his way in there. He snuck his way in there. And the procedure by which he did it is very reminiscent of Germany in the 30s in this respect. Because Hitler's party back then, what they did was they used parliamentary procedure to wear down the other side and take power. In other words, they didn't go running to the Reichstag, which is the equivalent of their Congress, with guns and start shooting people right away. They did shoot them later. But they'd go in and they would use the rules to tie up the other side, but not respond in good faith to normal procedures. Give you an example. In the Senate, it's Tommy Tuberville. We'll be talking about him too. But in the House, the Republicans have something like 221 votes. Takes 218 to be elected speaker. Well, there are a bunch of them. The numbers range from 8 to 10 or 15 who are absolute right-wing, treacherous sociopaths. And they, long ago, they have allegiance to Trump. Long ago, what they decided was they are going to make sure that no moderate ever becomes speaker, and they are going to throw the government into default, and they're going to do all this stuff. They also don't want aid to Ukraine. Some of them don't want aid to Israel. And they want to blow the deal that Biden and McCarthy entered into in the spring. So what happens? McCarthy extends 45 days of financing to the government till November 17 at the rate that he had agreed with Biden. They had forced him to agree that one congressman alone, one, could declare the chair vacant and trigger a vote again. Gates did it. All of the Republicans, except for about eight, all of the Republicans, except for about eight of them, Gates's crowd, voted for McCarthy. And I'm going to tell you something in retrospect. I wish that eight Democrats had voted for McCarthy and put him over, not because I like McCarthy, not because I trust McCarthy, but because McCarthy in the past had agreed to a deal that he stuck by in this 45-day extension. And if he were the speaker now, he would, in my judgment, extend it at least till April and possibly beyond that. Number one. And number two, with Ukraine and Israel, I think he would put them together. And if he separated them, he wouldn't load it up with what Johnson has done, which is to gut the IRS, contrary to the deal that Biden McCarthy reached, and contrary to the soft infrastructure, the Inflation Reduction Act. I also think that in general, he put all his crazy stuff, social stuff, just like this guy is going to do, but this guy's a killer. And they just held out and knifed everybody. They knifed Emmers. But then when they put up Johnson, the moderates didn't knife him. Moderates don't play that way. And that's what happened with the more mainstream parties in Berlin in 1932. Going to the lines, Andrew of Detroit, my friend. Thanks for calling, Andrew. What's in your mind today?
I told you several days ago, Matt, that I'm terrified. And I just knew this guy was bad news. And he's much worse than I ever thought he was. And I wouldn't doubt that they're not going to use him for 2024. If the orange Satan is able to go through, but you watch this guy rise to be able to get on the ticket in 2028. We're in trouble right now with him. I don't know. The Democrats need to get the government to stay open here in November. But after that, I don't know. They're going to have to get people, Republicans, moderate Republicans on their side and get rid of this one. We've got a constitutional crisis going on right now, and I don't think people are bringing that up enough. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And one little anecdote, a guy that I can't stand, as you know, is this Tommy Tuberville. And just now, this happened yesterday, I think, the acting commandant of the Marine Corps had a heart attack because he'd been working so hard. And he had no deputy. There was no commandant either. Tuberville wouldn't he put a hold, unanimous consent, on a commandant. So the guy stepped in as acting, and then he has the heart attack, and he doesn't have a deputy. The Marine Corps, we have detachments of 2,000 Marines in the Eastern Mediterranean who may have to go ashore in Lebanon. And not only don't they have a commandant, they also don't have a deputy. So Tuberville, finally, the Republicans went to him and broke his arm. He said, okay, I'll let a deputy be confirmed. Who the hell is he? Who is he to say he'll let a deputy be confirmed? Some Marine who's worked his whole life, been in combat for our country, and this crowd is going to not pay him after November 17, number one, and number two, they're not going to give him any leadership until he relents and say, okay, they can have a deputy. Can't have a commandant. They can have a deputy, a new one. You know, this is so offensive about this guy. This is happening. There's still no commanding officer of the Fifth Fleet. There's still no key generals and admirals. And we have two shooting wars that we are peripherally involved in Ukraine and in Israel right now. Our strong allies, we have to back them up. One of them is being invaded by Russia, a genocidal, sadistic invasion by a genocidal, sadistic sadist like Putin. And the other one had an incursion. And this, I have to say this, I have to read this again. This has bothered me ever since I read it before. The day after October 7th, there was a rally for Hamas in New York. And the idiot that spoke said, quote, there was some sort of rave party and they were having a great time until the resistance came in on gliders and took at least several dozen, but they're doing very fine. They grabbed a few hipsters. That's disgusting. They tortured them. They carved them up and they can't find all their bodies. And we're involved in that. And Tuberville, who never served in the military, is blocking and demoralizing our military. I cannot stand it. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to switch topics for a second. I want to give you another example of how sneaky the Republicans are, even when they're confronted with overwhelming sentiment against them. And here's an example. It's the way they phrase things on ballots and resolutions, and actually on the ballots of the people that you vote for. Down in Missouri, which is one of the worst states for this, this is some years ago, the Republicans would put on the ballot an issue phrase under each name. And under the Democrat's name, that they would put, quote, for gun control. And the Republican's name under that, they would put for the Second Amendment. Now, when you do that, you turn at least 5% of the vote or more by that kind of selective description, frequently false, of what occurred. That particular trick was overturned by a higher court. And I forget if it was just the Court of Appeals or whether it went to the U.S. Supreme Court. It was a while ago. But they said Missouri, and by extension, anyone else, cannot presume to do a, quote, synopsis, end quote, on the ballot itself under the name of what they say that the person stood for, even if it's a quotation from their website. Now, that is a no-brainer. In other words, with all the fighting and this, that, and the other thing, on election day, you're not supposed to let anybody within 500 feet of the polls. Even the TV stations don't run ads, and they do generic stuff. And you're not supposed to be able to go into the polls and have a partisan poll director put little phrases under the names that twist your conception of the candidates. Okay, so that's established. But up until now, it hadn't been established what you could do if there was going to be a ballot, a referendum on a subject down in Missouri. So here's what Missouri put on a ballot just now, or just a bit ago. And I'm glad to say that the appellate court overturned it and said you can't do that. There was overwhelming sentiment, or at least majority sentiment, to put on a ballot question to the along the lines of, do you approve of legalized abortion in this state? You know, something on that subject, perhaps it was a little phrased differently. Here's what the Republican Party did, who controlled the state. Here's what the ballot said that they were going to send out. Quote, do you want to allow for dangerous, unregulated, and unrestricted abortions from conception to live birth without requiring a medical license or potentially being subject to medical malpractice? Now, how would you like to see that on a ballot? Who's going to vote for that? I mean, really, who's going to vote for it? I mean, I think maybe 10% of the people would vote for it because they'd fall for it and they'd think that's what it was. The appeals court said, no, you can't do that. But, you know, do you want to allow for dangerous, who wants to allow for something dangerous, unregulated, that's going to lead to going to lead to lawsuits. I mean, this is what they do. Now, there's another requirement that you can't have two questions in the same paragraph. In other words, you can't ask people, do you want the state to do such and such and such and such? Because there's going to be plenty of people that want one and not the other. You've got to, and I'm not talking about abortion here, I'm talking about any other subject. And so frequently, what the Republicans do whenever they lose one of these ballot initiatives, whenever they lose them, they will claim that it was misphrased, that it was duplicate, and then there's an awful lot of litigation over it. So one of the things I'm most glad for, quite frankly, is that Megan Wolf is still the executive director of the Wisconsin Election Commission in our state. And I'll tell you, I saw an ad. I don't know if you saw this ad, but I'm sitting there watching the evening news and an ad comes on. It's obviously a political ad, one of these ones where you can't even read who put it on, and they say it real quick and it's tiny and all this. But it put on a picture of Megan Wolf, and it said, here is a bad person who used illegal drop boxes and a lot of other illegal stuff. Now, before I tell you the rest of the ad, stop the phone, hold the phone. She didn't do anything like that. She's the executive director. The Wisconsin Election Commission votes on it. And the Wisconsin Election Commission voted unanimously originally for drop boxes. And a court overturned it. She had nothing to do with it. She was like the chief of staff. She's the executive director. She was told by the commissioners who were duly appointed what to do. But they have it up here lying and saying that she did it. And, you know, they take a picture of her. And this is true of everybody listening to this and you and me and everybody else. There's some pictures you can take that look really bad. Okay. They just look bad. Some look good. This is a real bad picture. Then they go on, and this blew me away. They say the only thing stopping her being impeached is Robin Voss. They put a picture of him on. He's stopping it. Call Robin Voss and tell him to stop the impeachment of Megan Wolf. Now, First of all, you can only impeach someone for committing a crime or for corruption in office. She's done neither. Janet Protasiewicz in the Supreme Court would overturn her impeachment in a second. But secondly, this is a right-wing group that's attacking Robin Voss. And Robin Voss is very right-wing. But this is a Trump group. This is a Trump group. And remember, he went after Robin Voss because Robin Voss wouldn't overturn the 2020 election. I mean, he did a lot of other bad things, the fake electors, he did all of that. But that one little thing stuck in his craw, Trump went after him, and Robin Voss barely won re-election. He had like 51% of the vote. Guy, 29-year-old, totally without any credential, got 49%. Just on Trump's say-so. And Trump's donors, the big boys who are behind Trump, are putting this ad on to try to foul up Megan Wolf. So if you see the ad, if anybody talks to you about it, just say, we don't watch what's going on in Missouri that has to end up in court about the phraseology and ballot initiatives and putting stuff under people's names. We want an honest executive director, and Megan Wolf is an honest executive director. Going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
In fact, it's on tap every day.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.